third fruit is joy is from Matthew 5:17-20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, I shall never again disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the Lord until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses the Sabbath Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The second reading is from Luke 16:16-18. The law and the prophets were proclaimed unto John. Since that time the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of pen to drop down to the water. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. That is the word of the Lord.
Following on from the Beatitudes, Jesus then encouraged his disciples to continue on in their faith in those metaphors of being the salt and light of the world. Following this, Jesus set down his position on the Jewish law and the writings of the prophets. This passage sees Jesus setting up for the rest of the teachings he will give in the Sermon on the Mount, but he will outline some of the moral and ethical principles of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus begins this section of his teaching with, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." When Jesus says the law and the prophets here, he is talking about the law given by God to Israel, and by the prophets. Jesus is talking about those which God spoke through to the Israelite people. It's a figure of speech which means that all the Jewish scriptures, which we would call the Old Testament. Now, when one looks at the ministry and life of Jesus, as well as the Christian faith which emerged following his death and resurrection, one might wonder, how is it that Jesus hasn't abolished the law and the prophets? After all, just look at the differences between Christianity and Judaism. In Judaism, they still follow the Sabbath day of rest, the food requirements such as not eating pork, and circumcision as a necessary requirement to be considered part of God's people. And if we go back, then we've got the sacrifices the Jews had to make, and then there's of course the special holidays to observe, and all the rules about being ritually clean, and then we have all the other rules in Leviticus to follow, like not sewing together two different types of fabrics, but making clothing. As Christians, we don't follow any of these as prescribed in the law. And as Jesus was performing his ministry, he seemed to contradict the law. For instance, the disciples picked ears of corn one day to eat from a field on the Sabbath. And when challenged, instead of affirming the law's requirement of not doing work on the Sabbath, Jesus replied to the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Once Jesus didn't follow the washing rules before eating, and instead of affirming the cleanliness laws and quickly going to washing hands, he replies, "It is not what goes into a person which makes him unclean, but what comes out of the person. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jesus sure seems to be abolishing a lot of the law, or at least contradicting it. Well, it seems possible that this accusation was already faced by Jesus by the time we get to the Sermon on the Mount. Or at least people were wondering about this question. Jesus establishing his view on the law and the prophets, he might also be doing this in the context of being accused of encouraging the abolition of the law and the prophets. For words do not think, insinuate that people are indeed beginning to think. And to question whether Jesus is abolishing the law and the prophets. But Jesus says no. In fact, Jesus continues outlining a very strong rejection of this concept, saying, I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And this isn't the only time Jesus makes this point. In our second Bible reading this morning, we read in Luke 16, verse 17, that it is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Judging from another similar passage in Matthew 11, it is likely that this teaching moment is based around John the Baptist at the time of his being put in prison, but Luke doesn't really give us that context, but it's pretty much the same that we find there. But in any case, Jesus in more than one occasion makes the point that he isn't abolishing the law and the prophets. Well, that begs the question. If Jesus didn't abolish the law and the prophets, then why do we ignore so much of what it says in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy? Well, the secret is in the very next words of Jesus after he says, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. Where he says these four words, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. But to fulfill them. Now, if we take into account the teachings Jesus is about to give, we read things like, I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will face judgment. And anyone who looks at another person lustfully has already committed adultery with them in their heart. What we see is Jesus taking the moral parts of the law and turning them up to 11 and beyond, to a point where we have no chance as human beings, or as men and men. And there are two things that Jesus is revealing here. One, you can't meet God's moral standards. And two, this is the true level of godly morality that you should be aiming at, because it is God's standard of morality. The law gave the Israelites a moral standard that you could possibly achieve to some degree. But the morality of heaven is far purer than originally revealed in the law for people to keep. And so Jesus fulfills the law here by showing the full extent of what it means to fulfill. Living a godly moral life. But the moral component of the law is only one part of the law that we can identify. It is clear that Jesus means that he has come to fulfill all the law and the prophets. So the second component of the law that we can identify is called the judicial law. And this is the sacrifices part. This is what will be fulfilled through Jesus when he, the perfect one, is sacrificed for the sins of the world on the cross, taking the curse of our sin upon himself and overcoming death as he is resurrected. And so we read, such as Romans 8:4, in response to this, or furthering this, where we read that God sent his own Son in the likeness of sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so in accordance with these, Jesus fulfills the requirement of people needing to be righteous. Jesus fulfills the requirement people needing to be righteous in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. He gives us his righteousness. So it's not too hard to see how Jesus fulfills his elements of the law rather than abolishing them. And you may already be quite familiar with this. But what about the outward aspects of the law? You know, where people have to follow rituals and regulations. Like this hand washing requirement before eating. Remember how Jesus frequently disregarded this requirement? He plainly didn't always teach people to eat things exactly as written. How is this not abolishing? Well, to help us to understand it, we're going to look at what it means for Jesus to fulfill the prophets. God has spoken the promises to his people Israel, including the promise of a Messiah. And let's look at a few key verses from three of the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, Jesus sees it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the greatest, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sin no more. And then Ezekiel 36, 27. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. What we learn from these passages is that the Messiah will not abolish the law or the prophets, but at the same time bring about something new and different from the old covenant, which would see God give people a soft heart towards him and to other people. It would allow him to write his law on people's hearts and minds, and through his Holy Spirit move them to follow his decrees and laws. So first of all, Jesus is fulfilling what God set forth in the prophets. God had willed for a new covenant to be established, which is not like the old. So the new covenant Jesus establishes is not identical with the old, and if it were, it would not fulfill what God had established would come. So Jesus is going to establish a new and better covenant. And by bringing in this new covenant, Jesus doesn't destroy the old covenant. He fulfills it. The old covenant was always meant by God to make a way for the new covenant. Jesus is also going to bring to fulfillment the true meaning and the full truth of God, which was revealed partially through the law of the prophets. Jesus, God's Son, is uniquely qualified to do this. So Jesus fully reveals that which was partially revealed in the Law and the Prophets. And in doing so, Jesus always looked for the intent of his Father when examining the Law and the Prophets. He gets the spirit of the Law rather than the letter of the Law. He knew what his Father meant when those things were written down. So if the Law set out that people shall do no work on the Sabbath, Jesus is able to properly understand this Law and its intent, and so seemingly break the Sabbath in the eyes of the Pharisees by defending his disciples picking ears of corn from a field on the Sabbath. And then in Hebrews, to affirm this in Hebrews 4 verses 9 to 10, and to see where the Sabbath goes with Jesus, with God's intent for it, we read about Jesus bringing about how Sabbath rests. He says, "They were made that Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his." And what we're talking about here is the concept of Jesus as our Sabbath rest, and how he allows us to rest from striving to fulfill the law in order to receive salvation. This reveals how our relationship with Christ frees people from the works of the law and allows a person to rest in the work of Christ to forgive sin and to give us his righteousness. Ultimately, those who believe in Jesus will spend eternity in a Sabbath rest with him. You see, the Sabbath was about pointing to a future reality. So what about those ceremonial laws and Jesus fulfilling them rather than abolishing them? The ceremonial laws are there to regulate the life of the Jewish nation, to be a nation, to keep them in order, to keep them together with those laws, to keep them somewhat on track as a whole people. But these regulations and rituals were put in place by God as pointers to deeper truths. Realistically, some of these have no intrinsic moral value in and of themselves, such as washing one's hands before eating. The moral value for the Jew in these came from just doing them out of obedience to God. And what Jesus does is he elevates and transforms the ritual elements of the law into moral precepts. And into the moral precepts, God intended for them to become. So Jesus has removed the following of the rituals as mere rituals, and has transformed them and given them to us as moral imperatives. The moral imperatives the rituals were always pointing to, a full reality of the ritual. This is why Jesus says it is not what those things to a person which makes them unclean, but what comes out of a person which makes them unclean. Because it's out of a person's mouth which we speak words which reveal the state of the cleanliness or the uncleanliness of our heart. The ritual laws around cleanliness were about highlighting the importance of spiritual cleanliness of our moral character. And I believe that Jesus intentionally seemingly breaks these regulations to reveal that the simple obeying of the rituals has been done away with, in the sense that they have been transformed into their proper final form of becoming moral process. The irony is that the chief priests thought they were keeping the law and that Jesus was breaking it. However, Jesus was really fulfilling the law, while they were misaligned with the law. The law and the prophets were proclaimed up until John the Baptist, as our second Bible reading says. But Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom of God, and people were flocking to him to hear and teach about it. The preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God is not the abolition of the law and the prophets, but their fulfillment. He fulfilled in himself all those predictions of the prophets, which had been uttered concerning the Messiah. And he explained, illustrated, and established the law in its highest meaning and completed form. And by his work of salvation in the Holy Spirit, Jesus works in us so that we follow his decree and are careful to keep the laws. Amen.